Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too. Let's go to today's podcast episode. Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. And I want to apologize to all of the WAVA people because you heard me on Don Crow yesterday. Now, here we are again. So I hope it'll go well. But to help me out today and to help you out, we've got two stars from New Life. And one, I've never done a radio program with Laura Mangin McDonald. Laura, how are you?
I'm great, Steve. Just glad to be here with y'all.
Well, Laura could tell you that she's the co-founder of the Christian Insight for Life organization. It's a nonprofit, and her specialty has always been early childhood trauma, and she has been such a great addition to the New Life team, and she is doing Intimacy in Marriage in Washington, D.C., July 28th with J.J. West, star number two. J.J., how you doing?
I'm doing well, Steve. It's great to be on with you guys.
Well, J.J. is a licensed marriage and family therapist and originally from Central Florida, master's and specialist degrees in counselor education. And, you know, he's just a good guy and so competent. He is really a wonderful addition to the New Life team. So Laura does Restore, J.J. does Every Man's Battle, and then together they do Intimacy in Marriage. And so often in Intimacy in Marriage, they're already familiar with the folks that come. I was just wondering, Laura, let's start with you and then J.J., this whole marriage disconnection, becoming roommates thing, how does that happen? Or what do you think is the best way to prevent it? You can go either way.
Well, for one, it's like a slow burn, right? You just don't even realize it's happening as it's happening. But we've always got to work from the point of being intentional and proactive. And if we're not, you know, I always look out my office. I can look out my lawn here. And I always say to clients, you know, it looks beautiful, but that's because I'm forever being proactive with it. I'm anticipating things happening. I'm being intentional in connection. We just can't. It's, commitment is a full-time job in marriage, but it gives us a great return on our investment, for sure. Yeah.
Well, and it's a day-at-a-time commitment also. So often people commit for a lifetime, but you got to get up every day, and many, it's more difficult than others to keep that commitment. J.J., what about this drift thing into roommateism? What do you have to say about that?
Well, drift is the perfect word, because just like commitment is a one-day-at-a-time process, disconnection is a one-day-at-a-time process.
Yeah.
You don't wake up from an idyllic marriage where everything's going great and go, you know what, I'm just going to throw it all away. It starts little by little, working longer hours, developing separate hobbies, overinvestment in the lives of your kids, all kinds of things that pull you away. And it's always a drift. The current of our society and our flesh is to drift apart. And you have to be, just as Laura said, you have to be intentional to swim against that current.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll go to Jenna from Denver. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. So glad you're here. And J.J. and Laura will be in Washington, D.C., and that's going to take place July 28th for Intimacy in Marriage. If I knew of a more powerful experience that you could have to save your marriage on a weekend, I'd tell you to go there and not to ours. But I got to tell you this, I don't think there is anything more powerful to go to in a weekend than Intimacy in Marriage. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Talked about a lot, but if you go, you're going to learn about spiritual intimacy, true intimacy and connection, communicating on a deeper level, the impact of disconnection, of course, forgiveness, attachment styles, sexually competent husbands, sexually confident wives, your family of origin, how that impacts a marriage, conflict resolution, challenges to intimacy, repairing your side of the street, and a plan for moving forward. It's a great, great time. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You will not regret going. All right, let's go over here to our phones, 1-800-229-3000, and let's talk to Jenna, Denver, Colorado, KRKS. Jenna, how are you today? What's going on in your life?
Oh, hi, Steve. Well,
hi.
I can't believe I actually made the call. It sounds like I called on the right day. So I just respect your whole team, and you guys' help has just been priceless. I've probably listened to you for about 28 years, and I've wanted to call, but I just never have. And so,
yeah.
So far, I haven't really heard anyone with a problem quite like mine.
Oh boy.
Whenever I've been able to listen. So, I just thought I wouldn't waste any more time and give you guys a call.
Okay.
So my main problem is, our marriage has been fairly toxic for pretty much close to 30 years. And
wow.
My husband tells his dad everything that happens in our home. And I don't tell my parents anything. I actually moved out here. I left my family, and I moved out here where his whole family has been. Mm-hmm. And so basically our lives have been completely transparent because, you know, he tells his dad everything. And so anyway, I jotted down a few things just to kind of give you some basic information that might help your understanding of our problem or my life. And
okay.
So these are just a few of some of the more bigger ones. But so we've been married for almost 30 years. And on our honeymoon, he told me that he wouldn't have married me if he knew my legs looked like they did. And I will have to tell you, I am 5'6" and I weighed 115 pounds. So he would also tell me that my face was repulsive without makeup on. We have been to over 25 counselors in this 30 years. The last one we've been to was, it lasted for 4 years, which was the longest. And we've spent literally thousands of dollars on therapy. And anyway, so he tells his dad everything. And,
okay.
You know, every trip that we've ever had, I've always planned it, which hasn't been that many. But he has never wanted to take me anywhere for a weekend in 30 years. He threatened to kill us while we were driving on the roads. This was about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I called the police. He spent the weekend in jail. He took anger management classes, and I paid for counseling for myself. And after he was done with his classes, none of the therapists in the group that I was at would do a couple's appointment with him.
Okay, so look here. Let me just interrupt you because you could give us many more examples. I think Laura and JJ and I know exactly who your husband is. So what's the question for us?
Well, because he talks to his dad about our problems, I just need help with setting some boundaries, some reasonable boundaries.
It seems to me that him telling his dad about everything would be the least of your worries. It's a symptom, not a problem, is the way I see it. Now JJ or Laura may see it differently, but You've got a really, really horrible situation there. And we'll let JJ and Laura comment on it. Now, I just want to ask you one question before I turn it over to them. So you spent thousands of dollars. Have you ever gone to Intimacy and Marriage?
And we have been to Intimacy and Marriage about 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay, and then, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, we were on our way down there. He got mad and I think a little bit anxious about the whole thing and decided he didn't want to go. So we turned around and started back home. And I was just praying, God, please just somehow let us be able to work something out so he can go back. And so somehow we got turned around, went down there, got to the hotel, walked in. But he, of course, was on the phone with his dad. Uh-huh. And so I went into the meeting by myself. I was in there for quite a while until he finally decided to get off the phone. And he came in. And the rest of the time, you know, once we got in our groups with the other couples, it was good. But, you know, we get back home and you know, he really felt like, it sounded like he was going to make some big changes, but it probably only lasted 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of went back into the same routine.
Yeah. Okay. So many, many problems with him going there. Let's start with you, JJ. What are you thinking? And then we'll go to Laura.
Well, what I'm thinking is twofold. One, you described it as a toxic marriage. That's certainly true, perhaps a grave understatement. Because it feels like there are at least narcissistic tendencies, if not full-blown narcissistic personality disorder. The way that he seems to have no empathy for you, no care for how his words would impact you, no pursuit of you. There seems to be something significantly wrong with the way that he approaches relationships. Not just a dynamic between the two of you that, you know, some sort of relational pattern that the two of you could work out, because I would assume that over the 30 years, you have probably mentioned many times how much it impacts you when he goes and tells things to your dad that you would not want him to share with him, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're pretty intimate things that he'll share. And now his dad is sending me texts, you know, telling me what I need to do to make things better.
Well, so he has no regard for how it's impacting you. He's not responding at all. And the little response that he's offered, like when you came back from the Intimacy and Marriage workshop, is all short-lived. It's not fundamental change within him. It's window dressing. I'm going to do this to kind of get you off my case for a few weeks, but I can't sustain that because it's not a fundamental change in the way that I view the relationship and the way that I pursue you.
What do you think she should do? What's her best going forward, given all that we know here?
Yeah, you're going to have to set very clear boundaries with him. And you got to remember, Jenna, that boundaries are not for the other person. They're for you. It's you deciding, this is what I'm no longer willing to allow into my world, into my life. And so if you will not respect my request to keep things private between the two of us, I'm not going to be sharing those things with you. I'm not going to be having intimate conversations with you because you're not safe. You've proven to me that you're not safe for me to share intimate things with you, because then you go and share them with your father. And that makes me feel unsafe. So I'm not going to participate in intimate conversations with you. Until you've proven to me that you can hold that intimacy, you can hold my confidence. I'm not going to continue to engage with you in ways where you can abuse me verbally, emotionally. I'm going to keep a distance from you because you've proven again that you're not safe. Until you can prove otherwise, I have to put that boundary in place.
If you share intimate things, they're not going to be any more intimate things to share, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Laura. Laura, what are you thinking here?
Well, Jenna, sister, girl, if we could see if you came to my office, the first question I would ask you is, help me understand why you're putting up with this all these years. What's going on inside of you? What is your core belief that says you have to tolerate such dismissive, harsh, mean, cruel things? Because we could talk about your husband until Jesus comes back. What he, you know, and it sounds like you've been to 25 counselors, you've done the, you know, marriage intensive. I would say, what's going on inside of you, my dear?
Well, we have three children, and one of them's dating, and you know, they come from a wonderful family, and I basically lived most of my life now with this kind of a lifestyle than I have.
Wait a minute, your husband comes from a wonderful family?
No,
your husband comes from
our daughter's boyfriend.
But what does that have to do with you putting up with this?
Well, if we were to split, you know, it would make us, you know, show that we have some huge insecurities at home, which we do. But, you know, I did say for better or for worse, and I, you know, yeah, it has gotten worse, and I feel like I've drawn a lot closer to God through this. I mean, otherwise, I wouldn't be able to get through each single day, you know.
Okay, so, but wait, when you said for better or worse, that meant you were going to hang in there with him, but you wouldn't necessarily just hang in there and do nothing that could change things or protect yourself. You wouldn't expect someone that every morning she woke up, there was a gun to her head. You wouldn't expect her to just live with that. But this guy is not just a normal man who is cruel, uncaring, and mean. He has a disorder, and you have had to suffer with that. And so I think, from my perspective, there needs to be a demand for him getting help, not you getting help. Well, you need to get help so that you don't put up with this. But what I'm saying is, this isn't all just couples work here. He ought to be on his own treatment program with his own therapist who knows this guy is in trouble. And he's put you in trouble, in fact, to the point of threatening to kill you. What a horrible thing. But I do think Laura's on the right track with you, that it's not just for better or worse and then you let it be worse. There are things you can do that give you the greatest chance that he must simply change. And I wouldn't put up with it. And I just have to wonder about his sexual integrity. Is this guy faithful to you? Is he?
I believe he is. I know he did struggle at the first part of our marriage with pornography. We found it on the computer. He says he is not involved in that anymore, which I have no evidence of that. But, you know, his backup is his dad. You know, all he has to do is say, you know, something about what I did at the house that he didn't approve of, and then go tell his dad, and then he gets, you know, all of this, you know, reinforcement, like, yeah, you're right, you know, she's this, she's that, because he's never liked
but
me Jenna, the whole time.
Jenna, it all goes back to what's going on, what do you believe about you, and why are you tolerating this? And then my next question would be, what type of sisters do you have around you to support you? Because you keep on defaulting back to something inside of you that says, I'll tolerate this for better or for worse. And that is not God's design for you.
And there are people thinking, wait a second, that's not very Christian. You're just supposed to be there no matter what. I disagree. You simply must not put yourself in danger with a man who could threaten to kill you or do that at any time. We'll be back right after this. 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and I just want to finish up here, Jenna, by suggesting that you let us help you find a counselor that can give you some really great direction, support, and then also, I think if you went to Restore, that would give you some insight and then connection with women. Some of these women stay in a group every week for years. That would be helpful for you. But I want you to see that initiating or demanding change in this kind of situation is not being an unchristian wife. In fact, it could lead to him getting better. Whenever there's a narcissist, we have to ask ourselves, what was this horrific wound that was experienced, which often, real often, is the case? What was that wound? And most likely, old dad had some part of that, either neglecting the guy, your husband's hurt and pain. Maybe he was traumatically hurt or impacted, or he either neglected or he was so overly controlling and demanding that he never, ever has gotten over not being enough. Well, if you'll hold on, I want that. Now, we have a book. It's entitled Understanding and Loving Someone with with Narcissistic Personality Disorder. And I'm going to send that to you, and I hope that that's going to be helpful. And, you know, I was just asked to do a series, a podcast for Christianity.com, and they wanted 4 podcasts on narcissism. I'm going to be recording those today, and it's just so interesting that that would be our first caller today. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you want to join us here, it's 1-800-229-3000. Now, JJ is going to be leading a free Every Man's Battle webinar this Thursday, 1 p.m. Central Time. It's a man's guide to sexual integrity. Men and women are welcome to attend anonymously, and it's free, and you just have to register. You can visit the Every Man's Battle page at newlife.com. 1-800-229-3000 to join us here, and let's go to Mary. Mary's calling from Raleigh, North Carolina, and she listens to this as a podcast. How can we help you today, Mary?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, it's so great to talk to you. I've been listening since 1989.
There you go.
Lived in D.C. at the time and listened on WAVA. So it's an honor to be speaking to you. When I first started listening, I came from a home where I didn't know any of the vocabulary you were speaking, and I'm so thankful to have learned from you and many other people, so thank you. I love listening to when you talk to women who are going through things, and you always encourage them to build a team around them of other women, right. And I'm so very thankful to have, we call each other a tribe.
There you go.
So thankful to have that tribe in my life. 15 years ago, I was in a mental health crisis, and these women uplifted me and supported my family, and it's just wonderful to be able to live through that and know that we're there for each other. One of the friends that was there for me has always been a single mom. Her son is grown now, but I would say for about the last 6 years, she has really been suffering, you know, maybe from some depression or something. She has a Christian counselor, and I just saw her recently. I'm a teacher, so I see most of my friends in the summer. But we had lunch, and I was not happy with how she seemed. I felt that she was depressed still. And she's been going, you know, faithfully to her appointments, but she stays in the house. She's been able to work from home, and that's all she does. She never really leaves the house. One of the reasons that I hadn't seen her in a while is because, you know, I still have to maintain my own healthiness, you know, mentally. I want to be there for my husband and my family.
Right.
I'm a teacher. I give a lot when I teach, and she doesn't mean to be. I think she's just suffering, but she's very draining. So there's always something medical wrong. Mm-hmm. And the thing that kills me about this is I've been there. I yeah. have had my body be very sick and hurt because of depression.
Yeah.
And I want to help her, but I want to know how to help her, but keep myself healthy. Another really good friend of ours has just recently told her that she needs to take a break. And they've been friends for 30 something years, but she just lost her mom.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, we're all having issues, but we need help.
Right. Well, you know, that friend telling her, this other friend, that she needs to take a break is a great entry point for you. If you really want a different kind of relationship, well, somebody stepped up before you. And I think that's really, because now I don't think you'd want to just say, I'm out of here after another.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it after the break here. And we will hear from JJ and Laura. You're listening to New Life Live, and really glad that you're with us here today. You know, everything that we do to try to help people transform their lives, not get better. But transformation. You used to think this way, now you think that way. You used to be out of options, now you have a lot of options. And you take one that seems to be the way God is pulling you. Messages from other people, from within inside. That's what we want to see happen that leads to total transformation. We'll be back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and I said this could be a good opportunity to come along and support her and suggest and maybe even do some things with her now that there's this evidence that, you know, she's a little bit overbearing and one of the friends needs to take a break, and you could be part of that. But let's hear from Laura. Laura, what are you thinking here might be helpful in this situation with a very, very draining friend?
Well, first of all, Mary, I really want to validate. It can be a beat down to when you show up and you think, okay, today I'm going to really be able to lift this person up, and you come in with this plan, and she kind of deflects maybe everything that you're saying. That's what I'm reading into as you're saying this. So it sounds like then you're struggling with, gosh, how can I support her, but then not just be drained myself, right?
It's more that she just has so much going on, like physically, surgeries and then she just doesn't want to leave the house. So you're right. It is some deflection, but it's like there's more.
So do you feel like that it's, the onus is on you to have to resolve this for her, that you listen and you just think, I don't know what to say to relieve her of her pain?
I do not. I feel like there's enough of us, but I think I just know what it's like to be in that exact place, and I know that good Christian counseling pulled me out of it after a long time, but it was good, solid Christian counseling, and part of me just feels like, maybe she's not in the right counseling relationship.
Yeah. Right.
Could you say that in love to her?
Well, that's my question for you.
Yeah, well, I think that would be.
How do I say that?
Say that.
Well, you know what? Yeah, the fact that you've listened to this program so many times, I'll tell you something. You can quote me on here. There are some really ineffective counselors out there, and that's why when I mentor someone, I say, you need to see how you're doing here, because if you're not very good, you need to quit and do something else, because a lot of people that are not in that room with you are counting on you to be great. It's not just the person you're counseling. It's a lot of people impacted by their behavior. And so you could say to her, listen, I don't know if you know this, but not everybody's great. Or somebody's better at a special issue than someone else. And and that could begin the discussion. JJ, what are you thinking here?
I want to jump on board with that idea, because it may be that they're a good counselor, but just not in that particular field. I do a lot of work with couples dealing with sexual integrity. I don't do a lot of work in depression. So I wouldn't be a good person to come to if that's your main issue. But if it's, you know, sexual integrity, you can come to me, right? So you want to find that out. And I think it would be good for you as her friend to come alongside and say, hey, when I went through similar things that you are going through, Christian counseling helped me. This is what happened. Here's how it made it better. Here's how I changed. Do you, friend, feel like you are changing? Do you feel like you're benefiting in similar ways from your counseling? And if she says, no, I don't feel like she's nice and I enjoy talking with her, but I don't feel like anything is really changing, then it would be appropriate to say, maybe you need to consider looking for someone who specializes in the things that you're going through. Then JJ, I want to add one other thing. Oh, sorry. Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
No. Well, I was just going to ask, isn't it appropriate for her to say, it doesn't seem like you are experiencing the kind of changes that
Absolutely.
I went
through. From my perspective, right?
Okay.
I'm not seeing those changes, but I don't live in your head. So if you're seeing changes, tell me about that, right? But I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing the improvement. Yeah, absolutely. That can be wonderful, helpful advice from someone else, because we don't see our blind spots. So it's really helpful for people who love us to go, hey, there's something happening here that you may not be aware of, right?
And what was that other thing you wanted to say before I interrupt?
The other thing I wanted to say is, in terms of this whole draining process, it's the same thing you hear every time you get on an airplane. You know, the stuff that we ignore when we're sitting there fiddling with our phones and whatever, and the flight crew is going through their pre-flight instructions, and they say, In the event of emergency, mask will drop down. First, put your own mask on, then help someone who's traveling with you, right? So in other words, you've got to make sure that you're caring for yourself. Jesus modeled this for us. Every morning, it was his practice early in the morning to go and spend time with the Father before he plunged himself into ministry to others. And so you need to make sure, before you spend time with your friend, that you're letting God fill you, so that it's not you're not going to her out of deficit, and now she's taking the last little bit that you needed for yourself or for your family. So make sure that you're spending adequate time letting God fill you.
All right. So I
really
want to
appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that when my
hold on. You want us to know that Mary.
When Milan Yurkovic.
Yeah.
And he was helpful with anxiety. I've never flown. I love the analogy, but I've never flown because I've been too afraid to. That's my one last thing that I haven't done out of my anxiety.
Yeah.
But no, I get the anxiety. I get that analogy.
Well, okay. And by the way, I am more relaxed on a plane than anywhere else in my life. Isn't that sad that you can't get on one? But it's the most relaxed because, see, I always meet the pilot and I see that he's much more trained to help the plane stay in the air. I can't do anything to keep the plane in the air. So I just let him handle it and I go sit there and read a magazine or a book. And I would love that for you, but of course the only way to to be able to fly is you have to take a little class in Dallas with American Airlines, and then you have to get on a plane. Well, I'd love for you to do that and be free in that area. Anyway, that's something else. But right now, you can be a big help to your friend, and I hope and pray that you can do this. I'm going to send you this this book about understanding and loving this person with depression, and there may be another one in the series that would really work well for you. You hold on, and I'll get that to you. Speaking of depression, I've never known him to have it one day of his life. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. Larry, aren't you glad I said
That, I like that.
Yeah, what if I said his guy's most depressing? Yeah. No, you have such a great attitude. Yeah. And what do you have for us today, Larry?
Well, first thing I want to say is part of the reason I don't get depressed, I get to work with people like JJ and Laura.
Yeah, they're great.
They are the best, and they are going to be doing this workshop together. And I am so excited. It's going to be better than we ever thought it could be. So anyway, just for what that's worth. I've got a testimony. You know, we're doing the workshop at Every Man's Battle in August online. No, we're doing the workshop in July. I'm all mixed up. August online.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to think I can't get anything online or this is not as good, because listen to this. I was really excited to attend this workshop. I read the book years ago. It helped me so much on my journey to deliverance. I've received so many tools to work with to maintain my sexual integrity. Looking back to the young boy I was who walked through so many challenges, I now understand why I acted out and acted in.
Mm.
I'm so encouraged about the future, what the future holds for me as I embrace this knowledge and apply it to my life. I leave here as a warrior, dedicated and totally committed to train and battle for the life Christ died to give me. I'm forever changed. I will never retreat. I'm grateful for the impact Every Man's Battle and New Life have made in my life. You know,
that's pretty wonderful to hear.
Yeah, to hear that a guy now gets it. He looked back on his life and he understands what's causing him to do the things he did. And he can now deal with it, and he's dealing with it. So, guys, this is your chance. We don't set the bar any lower than sitting at your home and not having to travel. You just can be there online with a group of friends that you will learn. And it's just the best. So please figure this out. Sign up. And women, you can help him to sign up. Encourage him. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wives, you need to do that. I know you do, but please do it more.
And Larry, I have to think, I believe that one of the most shocking things is that you're not shamed when you come. And in fact, the shame is lifted. It's like it's transformed into a new strength for you. It's something you've dealt with and know how horrible it is. And once we tell you why you don't have to live that way, it's powerful. It's a powerful way to live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to transform your life.
Steve?
Yeah?
Can I come back for about 10, 20 seconds and tell about the
30.
Matching gift? Okay.
We're going to give you 30.
Thanks.
All right. Or a minute even. All right. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and Larry is back, and you wanted to update us on that matching fund, Larry.
Yeah, I did. $325,000 was the beginning. We're at $273,000. Folks, we've got $42,000 left to cross that finish line.
We're getting there.
Yeah, it's been slow the last few days, so I'm just appealing, asking folks to please consider this. Remember, when you give your gifts, then they total $42,000. New Life will get $84,000.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money. It goes for a lot of good things, and it will help people in a lot of ways. Scholarships, one of the ways that we can help people. So thank you for giving, everybody who has, and I hope you'll keep it going for us.
Yeah, and it really started with the generosity of folks that created the fund to be matched, and we're so grateful for them. All right, 1-800 229-3000. We're going to do another program after this one. But before we do that, we want to go right over here and talk with, well, let's talk to Priscilla from Washington, D.C., listening on Sirius XM. Hi, Priscilla. How you doing today?
Hello.
How can
thank
we help?
You for taking, thank you for taking my call. I'm a little nervous talking about this.
Okay.
I'm married to a good man. He loves me. He loves the Lord. He's faithful. He's been a good father for about 17 years. He has a mild cognitive disability. When we got married, it's deteriorated. But for the last 6 years, there has been no intimacy in our marriage. Mm. And the first 2 years, I was very bitter. And then I think I spent 2 years crying. And then I spent the last 2 years kind of focusing on myself, and the Lord has been helping me develop healthy relationships with friends that can help me fulfill some emotional needs that I'm not receiving.
Yeah.
Some of the ways that the intimacy has not been, has the behaviors are lack of hygiene, not showering. This is my husband. And
okay, well, let me ask you this. What has he been willing to do or not do to help that problem? Anything?
Well, I have been going to counseling. I have not pressured him. I've mentioned it about three times or four times within the last 6 years. I have told him that I'm going to counseling, and so
6 years.
There's a lack of communication, a desire to communicate, and I don't know if it started off as a physical problem, but I don't know. But I know that there's behaviors that are leading me. So now I'm in separate bedrooms. But the behaviors in the beginning were clearly telling me that there was not a desire to engage.
Yeah. Okay. I would like, because we don't have a lot of time, JJ to step in here and talk about this. He does talk about it at Every Man's Battle. What do you think, JJ? Mm-hmm.
So, Priscilla, two questions. One, are you saying that his lack of intimacy is somehow tied to the cognitive issues that he faces?
No, the cognitive issues are what inhibits him from communicating about it, I believe, mildly. He is able to communicate, but the communication part is the hard part.
Okay, in other words, in terms of talking through what can we do to make things better?
Yes.
Okay, so that kind of leads me to the second question, because Steve asked you, what has he been willing to do? And then you responded with all the things that you have done rather than what he has been willing to do. So has he been not willing to do anything to change?
Well, I mean, because of the first 2 years, first 4 years of the not bathing and not being coming to bed at, before midnight, that those were clear things to me. And so it created bitterness with me, and I have tried to talk about it. But at this point, because we don't talk about it, we can't jump into anything because there's no talking about anything.
Okay. So Priscilla, what happens if you were to, you know, tonight, this weekend, you were to sit down with your husband and say, hey, I need to have a serious conversation with you because I want to talk through what are our options for making our relationship better. What would he do?
He sits there silently.
Okay. All right. So he participates in the conversation in terms, he doesn't walk away. He doesn't get in the car and leave. But he doesn't
Correct.
Communicate. He doesn't verbally respond to you.
Correct.
Okay. So you can either say to him, whatever his first name is, we'll call him Steve. Steve,
perfect.
I need to hear from you. I appreciate the fact that you're willing to listen to me, but I also need to hear from you what it is that you are willing to work on, what it is that you're willing to change in order for us to have a better marriage. And if he's not willing to speak to you one-on-one, can he come to counseling with you? You've said you've invited him. You may need to be more forceful with that. Instead of just inviting him, you may need to say, Steve, we need to do this for the hope of our marriage.
So I'll just address that, is that I do serve him. I love him. I honor him and respect him. But I feel like I don't want to be a nag, and I can't force you to do something because it's not going to be.
Without a doubt.
If you're not in it, it's not going to last. And so I have done that. I've cried and say, this really hurts me, and please. And so I'm kind of like empty a little bit there. So.
Yeah. And I don't want you to be a nag, and Laura doesn't want you to be a nag. But you saying this is really important for us to do this together is not being a nag, nor is you asking him, tell me why it is that you're not wanting to do this. What's going on? I need to hear from you.
Doesn't talk. He won't say anything. He'll listen, but he might like shed a tear, but he won't.
JJ, doesn't say anything. Isn't this classic avoidant attachment? Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't it sound like classic avoidant attachment?
Sure.
Avoidant attachment hears and sees and is present, but they just don't have the bandwidth to go in. They need to learn how to look in their heart and understand what's happening. That's a learned behavior.
Yeah, because all the red flags are going off in his head when he hears, when he hears Priscilla complain. It's like, oh, this is bad. Okay, I'll just sit here and wait till it's over.
Yeah, he really kind of goes into this frozen state in a way.
Yes.
So that is, it feels so dismissive, and it looks, but he is stuck. I promise you, I'm not excusing his behavior.
Right.
I'm explaining it. And this is where you need to get with a therapist who knows and understands avoidant attachment, because he's looking at you like a deer in the headlights. And every time, all it does is reinforce with you, well, he doesn't care, or he would have done something.
All right. I wish we had more time. I'm going to send you How We Love and hope that that's going to help you see some things. If you'd like to join us on the next program, 1-800-229-3000. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.